Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Scott Logan, who is the SVP of Marketing and Demand Gen at Connex AI. Scott, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I'm incredibly excited. We were talking right before, and you just said this phrase of, I'm a salesperson at heart. And yes, like you and I are both sitting often in marketing roles, but we both know that the goal of marketing is to help generate pipeline that generates revenue, that drives business forward. So I'm excited to talk through this today. I think we'll talk a lot about specifically sales and marketing alignment and how you built some programs that accomplished just that. So that said, can you give us a bit of a high-level overview of what we'll be talking through today?
Yeah, so we can talk through how you plan and strategize for ABM, building your audience, how to work with sales teams through the process, what metrics to follow, and maybe hopefully a new structure that can give you some ideas on how to actually build out the mechanics of the ABM program itself.
I love it. So that said, as we start to think through specifically finding an audience, like as you've built ABM programs previously, how do you typically start by even finding that right fit audience, that target account list that you build the program around?
I blindly click on Zoom info filters, download the list, and send it to the email marketing team, and that's it. No, I'm just kidding. See, I say that because I think that is actually what happens a lot of times. And someone high up says, let's go after healthcare. And then all of a sudden, you just go for it, put all eggs in one basket, and wonder why it doesn't work at the end. So before we get into how you find the audience, there's two philosophies that I follow. One of them is spend 50% of your time with sales, whether it's call recordings, in the team meetings, talking with reps one-on-one, regular weekly meetings with the sales leaders. Spend as much time as you can, because my other motto is everything we do should help sales sell more, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's with a sales team, whether it's in the channel, everything you do should help support a sale. And some people say, well, there's awareness and there's this and there's this. It's like, yes, but if it doesn't align to a salespeople person closing a deal faster, then you should probably reevaluate that. There should at least be a dotted line to revenue with whatever you're doing, whether it's a Times Square billboard, a targeted ad, or a trade show, whatever it is. So when I start, I always start with the sales team. Talk to the group of people to see who wants to even participate in this. Because if you run a program for the whole team, half of your people aren't even going to care. They're meeting their quota without your help. What do they care? That's not going to help them. And so you're going to be spinning your tires, wasting time trying to get them on board. So first, I look to see who actually wants to participate. It'll probably be a mix of really good reps that are going to meet their quota, but really understand your vision and what you're trying to do and can take advantage of it. And a lot of them will be like the folks who are trucking along and need to do better and identify this as an opportunity for them to do so. So stick yourself to the reps who are actually going to give this the time of day. I think that sometimes can be a struggle because folks are like, well, why would you ignore these other people? It's because they're going to ignore the program and it's going to show poor results because of it. The next thing is you have your group of reps that want to work with you. Maybe it's for the whole country. Maybe it's for certain regions. It's different people. Or maybe it's just for one region, whatever it is. And decide together with those reps involved in this discussion and their sales leader what you want to go after and why. So do we have an industry, like let's just take solar in Texas. Power is a really big issue in Texas. It's front of everyone's mind. It's a capitalist system where you can buy power privately, and these companies are competing. And they have, for us, massive call centers. We sell call center technology with AI baked into it at the core. And this is something that they can use to give themselves a leg up. And they're looking for it. And they also don't want to run massive call centers. They're basically a power company. That's not their business. So let's just take that, for instance, and we'll say, okay, is this a one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many campaign? That kind of is going to be decided upon how many reps are going to participate and the region in which you're going to participate in and the results that you're expected to provide from this. So once you identify that, let's just say it's three reps who cover TOLA and you have maybe a few hundred accounts. So let's do a one to few campaign. And from there, you can very strategically select those accounts. Baked into that, and this is one of the X factors, is you should have some customers already with customer stories who you can interview about this, who you can share insights on a webinar, whatever it is, to be able to relate to them. So you may be the contact center software or cybersecurity expert, but you're not the expert in what they do and their challenges as it relates to what you sell. So don't think you have to go reinvent the wheel. I've done motions where it's like, okay, we're going after healthcare and we need to learn everything there is to know about healthcare. Well, you spend tens of thousands of dollars on training and consultants and all this stuff, all for the reps to still not relay the information properly. Still do some of that training, but don't spend too much time there. You need to make sure that you're bringing in that outside view because they're going to trust your customer's voice there way more than they're going to trust you on that same topic.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to specifically call out. One, I love the involvement immediately of the sales team and the call out specifically that you probably should have a small group of sellers as you're getting this launched. I'd say for every reason that you added, in addition, just this is an experiment. So like the first process probably won't be perfect. So do you know how much more painful it is to retrain an entire sales team versus saying, okay, we piloted the process, we worked out some of the kinks, now we've got a good process that's smooth, let's roll it out to the whole team. Like it's just easier to build the program when you've got less people to train and retrain and then retrain every time you make an iteration. And again, you're 100% right. Like nobody uses it. It's a big waste of time. And I also am just curious when you're having these conversations, because I've seen it happen a lot of, we want to build an ABM program to go after an entirely new audience because we've got a hunch that's going to be a good audience to go after. Mm. How do you have those internal conversations to say, well, we should actually probably go where we have existing customers and here are all the reasons why. Like, how are you kind of leading that conversation internally?
In my opinion, it's too early to build an ABM program for something that you don't know and is going to work, a new industry. If you think, oh, we should go after this or that. Well, let's go talk to some people first. Let's go close a deal first. Let's get that talk track down first. Let's understand what their pain points are first before you start to put all this time, and it's mainly time, but depending on your budget, a lot of spend into that for a guess. ABM is for when you need to scale a specific market or a specific region or a specific persona in one of those one-to-many, one-to-few, or one-to-one conversations to be able to amplify the deal size and speed up the velocity. It's not the grounds, in my opinion, to experiment. You experiment in other ways. Experiment with advertising, experiment with content, experiment with your blog, experiment with, you could even go as far as experiment with a webinar. That's a few things I've done to identify those areas and find out if that audience really cares. We did a webinar that was very specific to like three deals that we closed in one quarter that all happened to be the same industry. So let's just talk about that in a webinar and see what happens and only invite our specific ICP from that industry nationwide. Well, guess what? The metrics were double. Now, the volume wasn't as high, but the engagement and the registration and the follow-up engagement was double everything else. Okay, boom. We can do an ABM program on that. We closed a few deals from it. We have a few good stories. One of the people was willing to give us quotes and be on a webinar. We tested it and it did work. It was validated. So now let's go and build an ABM program around it and see which teams that would even be applicable to based on what it is you're choosing.
I actually really like that breakdown of almost to some extent, hey, we've seen some headway here. We now have some proof points and success stories based on we're evangelizing a general problem. This general problem resonated with this specific audience. Now, how do we, instead of talking about general problems, get really specific to problems for that audience? See if that works in a not light lift, but a not crazy, let's go build a full ABM program around it, but just like a couple of emails, let's lead them to a webinar, see what happens, and see how that program converts as a testing ground. I really like that approach. I'm curious, how do you strike the balance in that serendipitous opportunity where you're like, okay, we've made traction here to determine this is the worthwhile kind of quarter trial, or are you saying, hey, we know on the front end this is absolutely a trial and we have no expectations of results? Like, how are you helping to get that buy-in for those kinds of experiments?
It's all about aligning to the sales team. Because if you make this decision in the marketing team and then tell the sales team about it, absolutely they're going to start throwing stones at it without question, even if they agree with it. Because who are you to like decide all this? Like, yeah, you're marketing, you're doing, like they get the validation, but, and maybe they don't even throw stones at it, but they're not going to be fully engaged because you need to align to their goals and to their objectives. Going back to the point of, is this hitting their number? And the marketing team, when I run things, it's not a matter of what are our marketing goals. It's the sales goal is the marketing goal. It's not sales versus marketing. It's the sales goal is what we need to help them accomplish. Because it's the whole point of marketing, to help sales sell more. And if we're doing something different than them, you're going to fall flat, even if it's the best idea, because they're not going to be invested. You need to get the sales team invested in what you're doing from the planning process. Guide them down the path of what you want to do even, but make it be their idea. And if you can't get there, then maybe your idea wasn't a good one. Try something else. Try a different topic and pivot right there in the meeting. Well, what would you like to do and why? And how would you do that? What conversations have you had? Get the context of the conversations they're having. Oh, you did have a discovery call that went really well. Can I listen to those recordings? Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm going to go look them up and make a quick outline for see if I totally understand what you're getting at. Vet it across the team in the next meeting and then build something out with them as far as where you want to go. And when the sales team sees that it's a lot of their ideas in there, now their name's on it. Now they don't want it to fail. Now they're going to give you feedback along the way. Now they're going to try their best to work their asses off to get those accounts engaged instead of, I put them in this nurture stream with my engagement platform. We didn't get anything out of it. Good job, marketing. We're going to go do our thing again. It's all for naught.
I think the thing that you just said that I've not heard somebody else but say as clearly as that is, when you involve sales this heavily in the development of the ABM process, it has their name on it. So it's not just, yeah, oh, that experiment marketing did totally failed. We had no real involvement in it anyway. It's how you easily actually make everybody get on the same page, because it's also, for lack of a word, as horrible as this might sound, you're also now putting their reputation at risk to some extent. So it's, if it doesn't go well, it was on all of us, not just dumb marketing or dumb sales. Like, we win together, we fail together. And I think everybody likes the idea of the win together part. They don't like the idea as much on the fail together. But the way that you actually ensure a greater win is by creating the risk that we might not win if we don't all do it together.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious, as you then think through specifically the alignment component for a lot of these organizations, and as you built programs previously, have there been any unexpected roadblocks as you've tried to get sellers bought in? Or I think it'd be interesting as well, from your perspective, have there been roadblocks from marketing to actually get marketing bought into this approach on how to get sales on the same page?
Not when you plan it together as a team. I feel like if you do that and everyone has a share of voice and you don't come in with a predetermined plan all baked out, you don't get that kind of pushback. At least I haven't. And obviously you have to start that relationship before that happens because they won't trust you. But if your relationship is one where you can share constructive feedback, both good and bad, leading into that, then that's good. You might get pushback, or maybe you could even say you will get pushback, if you're starting to do this when the relationship isn't great. You're trying to use this to bridge the gap to a better relationship. It's like, I don't know. It's like trying to get a team together to play some sport, and you have this all-star cast, and no one really likes each other to begin with, and they all do things in different styles, and then all of a sudden there's conflict from the beginning. So you kind of have to be on the same page with at least the reps that you're working with, maybe not the whole team, but at least the leader of those reps and those reps themselves. As long as there's like a, we can share information back and forth and no one's going to get mad at each other, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, then you should be fine. To establish that, a lot of times when I, and I've said this on a lot of different interviews, one of the things I do when I first meet a sales team that I'm coming on board with is, hey, if you don't tell me what sucks and what you don't want to do and what doesn't work, I can't do anything for you because I may end up doing the same things that have been done along the way that made you mad in the first place or made this bad in the first place. So just tell me why something doesn't work and we'll talk through it and I'll take that feedback to build something out. But if something is working, also tell me if it is working. And maybe you don't know this, but we can pour more money into something that's working. And if you have really great metrics and tracking, then you can probably see that ahead of time. But maybe your reporting isn't built up to the level you want yet, and you need that contextual feedback from them.
I mean, it sounds like it's something that you've now just made a habit and a practice of, like, from day one, I'm going to come in and I'm going to go to sales and say, what works, what doesn't, help me help you make what's working happen even more. I'm curious, what have you done in the past or what have you seen other people do when they aren't necessarily on great terms and they've got to get that buy-in and that alignment? Because I do see a lot of people that do treat ABM as the, we can build this program together that will help our alignment between marketing and sales, because historically we've not been super aligned. So I'm curious, are there any pieces of advice on how to help drive alignment to actually get the program up and running where there's historically not been as much alignment?
I guess you'd look at a few things. One, you need to be completely frank with the team. Like, I'll even go as far as, you know, breaking down the barrier with some swearing and say, hey, if you're not bitching and moaning to me at least once a month, if not more, there's something wrong. And I'll say, there's no way that everything marketing is doing is working and worth its while. So lay it on me. And I'll take it with open arms and I won't defend. And I'll say, that's great feedback. Maybe you're right and it's a process that's wrong. Maybe you find some great ideas and insight from the feedback they give and you end up dropping a few things or tweaking a few things. What I've found is that sales reps want to make money. They're going to work as hard as they can to hit their OTE or more, or their accelerators, or make it to President's Club or whatever. So as long as you can align to that, then you're good. So the second part of that is, are your goals their goals? If you're trying to do this and your goals aren't their goals, or you have a lead count you have to hit and they have a revenue number you have to hit, I mean, this has been told by a billion people now at this point, but you're going to hit your number regardless of if it hits their number. So it has to be aligned and you have to use the same reporting. That's the X factor in that. If you're not building your reports in whatever CRM they're using, let's just say Salesforce, I will go as far as spending as much time as I need with the sales ops and marketing ops people, whether they report to me or not, and make sure we're using the exact same filters. We're using the same data set. We're not storing it in our marketing automation system and reporting out of there. We're porting over whatever we need in an automated fashion to Salesforce to use the same dashboards with the same filters. And when you switch between sales and marketing dashboards, you know it's always going to be the same.
That might be the most tactical, I think, advice that I've heard on somebody actually outlining how do you align sales and marketing is actually ensure that you're reporting on the same things from the same data set. I hear a lot of people talk about metrics and aligning on that front, but just ensuring we're in the same software, we're looking at the same dashboard, we all agree and look at it and say we are winning together. I think it's super helpful and super practical.
Believe it or not, even on opportunity count, marketing could include stages that sales isn't, because they're like, well, that's pipeline. It's stage zero. The meeting's booked. No, it's not. You can't count that marketing. Until that meeting happens and you're tracking how many of those meetings actually happen and tracking how many of those meetings actually turn into an opportunity, you need to use what they realize and what they are held accountable for in their pipeline. As simple of a metric as opportunity count.
Yeah, I've not even considered some of the clients that we've worked with that marketing is essentially currently stopping their metric of success at once the meeting is booked. And they're like, sales got it from there.
Nope.
And how many meetings are booked that then never show? So that's a great call out. Scott, is there anything else that you feel like we haven't covered that'd be super helpful for people as they think through specifically sales and marketing alignment?
I don't know. I think that's a lot for some folks because a lot of environments aren't as synchronous as that. If you are there, just don't lose that traction. Don't say, okay, we're good. Now we're going to go do a bunch of stuff because they trust us now. It's a quarter by quarter, month by month thing. You have to continually align to them, asking them, their leaders, who wants to go to the show, who has events that they want to go to as a single opportunity. I've actually had shows recently where I was like, I have never really had success there before. And they're like, that was my biggest show at my last company. How about this? We'll give you $2,000. We'll get you there. No sponsorship. Work the floor and tell me what happens. Guy came back with 5 opportunities.
Well,
from walking the floor and getting in the coffee line 20 times a day. Okay, great. There's a there. Now I'm okay with putting my neck on the line for 20 to 30K to get us there in a more formal fashion next year. Always be working with them on everything you do so that when you do have these big initiatives that you're telling your leadership, this is going to be great. You need to make sure it's great. And that doesn't happen without sales. Marketing's not making those calls. Marketing's not on the disco. Marketing's not holding the buyers accountable for showing up to the meetings. You are.
I couldn't agree more.
Or the reps are. You have to make sure they're doing that work for you in a way that you would want them to.
Yeah. Scott, is for starters, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Probably the best is LinkedIn.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get to like the execution phase or the reporting phase. We kind of touched on the reporting, but really quick on the execution phase, if you will, there's a few things that I think if we have time to review. Okay. Some people think, you know, let's have a 12-month long ABM program, 18-month, whatever. It takes a while to get these enterprise accounts in. It's an enterprise campaign. But the people who are giving you the money, the C-suites, are not in that motion. They're in the motion of quarter to quarter, board meeting to board meeting. So I feel like you should structure your campaigns in 3 to 6 month sprints, depending on what it is you're doing. Maybe it takes 6, but probably shouldn't take more than that. A good way to do that, I found, is to anchor it on some kind of an in-person engagement, whether it be a field event or a trade show or whatever, and back out of that. So we know we're going to be face-to-face with these 5,000 people at this big industry show we're going to. Well, you've been to it the last 2, 3, 4 more years. You have a pretty good list and a pretty good idea of who's going there. Even with people switching companies, a lot of times they'll switch within the same industry. So there's your 5,000 core list. Maybe there's some target accounts that fall within that realm or that industry show or a field event that's very niche for, you know, power companies in Texas. And you say, okay, we don't want to just cold call them to set up a meeting at the show right before the show. It's not going to work. Maybe you get a handful. Those are probably deals you're already working. So what, you helped me close a deal that I was already going to close? That's not an ABM program. That's not an event program. That's nothing. So say, okay, let's back out and let's get them engaged in like a webinar or a digital roundtable or some kind of engagement where it's like a group of people, whether it's in a webinar veiled event where they don't see the other attendees, or it's a workshop where they see the other 15 people in the room, maybe do three of those or something in like the one and two months leading into that event, to that show. And then before that, you're saying, okay, we need to get them aware of us. Maybe they know your brand, maybe they don't. Very important if they don't know your brand, to get them into some nurture streams with some content that is very specific to their persona. If it's an if it's a non-industry show and it's just your cybersecurity or whatever it is. And then before that, even some advertising that is very hyper-focused. So using, you know, your, I don't want to name drop, but the ABM tools or the hyper-targeted advertising tools that get into those actual people's streams. If you've been to the shows and you've been marketing to people a lot of times, you'll have a lot of cookies built up and you can do that pretty easily. So now, once you back out of that, you know this ABM program includes ads that are going to roll to them. They see you all the time on display or in their feeds or whatever. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of that, you start to promote some kind of a digital engagement. All of a sudden you start to like set those filters, right? You bubble it down to the actual people who care, who have a project right now. So then you get there. If you want, you can even throw in like a direct mail campaign to the people who are the most engaged in those digital events, or the highest priority accounts on the people who engage in those digital engagements and the digital ads. And then you start to call them. Maybe you use the direct mailer to get them into that in-person meeting where you know next month they're going to be at this event and they're going to be there. And then now you say, okay, here's all the people who have engaged. Here's all the people who've engaged digitally through some kind of a web conference. Here's all the people who accepted the direct mail. And in the direct mail conversation, or in the follow-up to the web conversation, where you're just providing them additional information, not selling to them yet, because usually these are enterprise accounts. You're not doing ABM programs for SMB. You're doing mid-market higher. And now you're in conversations to say, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and just set a meeting to meet. You're already going to be at that show. I'll take you out to breakfast. And now you have the reps doing this. You have the reps inviting them to these events and these dinners. And to, you know, a dinner is a great example at an event. Hey, you do anything Tuesday night? Everyone's coming in on Monday or Monday night. Everyone's coming in that day. We have a couple customers. We have our executive team there. And, you know, maybe you have a few current ops that are being worked that you know you can get to the table, and you name drop those companies. And all of a sudden you get like half the table is net new, a fourth of the table is current ops, and a fourth of the table are customers, or some kind of ratio like that. And then that is the type of ABM program I like to do. I don't like it where it's all ads, all emails, and you're just trying to get the account based on intent. Oh, they have something to buy. We just got to get in front of them. You said something earlier where ABM programs are an awareness level campaign. I actually disagree with that. It is an awareness level campaign for the accounts that you know you need to work with, that you're going to be in front of, that you know you can have tell a very convincing story to, and you have a customer to back it up. Awareness at that level, yes. Get them to know you. If you have a big brand, they already know you, but they don't know why, when, or how they would engage with you, or they don't have budget for it. Well, don't have budget for it means you just haven't identified a problem that you can solve for them yet. That's all that means. And so your reps can dive into that a little bit more. And then you can go from there. So just to drop some more tactical components for the actual execution, once you get your audience set, I think it probably works the best. And it will give you a timeline of when results should be actualized for your metrics. You know exactly how many engaged accounts there are. Are you hitting the number of engaged accounts in that you want? Because then if you're doing ads and emails and maybe one of the digital conferences, if the number, a percentage of accounts you're engaging is not even close to where you want it, not 20, 30, 40%, you're probably not on the right message. Okay, let's pause. Let's adjust our message, adjust the ads, adjust the emails, adjust the topic of the web conference, and then try it again. And you don't go through the full thing to the end and say, oh, damn it, that didn't work. No, you've adjusted and tweaked along the way because you're seeing these indicators of engaged accounts before you get to what's in the pipeline because of this.
think that was a 7-minute breakdown of a full ABM program. So I think that is the most condensed and actionable 7 minutes we've had on the podcast. So Scott, thank you. I saw that as we've had so many clients that have specifically built programs and they're all going to events and they're trying to think through how do I incorporate this event. And I love the framing of anchor the program to an event because the event becomes your conversion point. And if you can make sure that people actually know that you exist, see your rep's face. Like, I can't tell you how fun it is to go to an event and like people come up to you and be like, hey, like I recognize you. And I'm like, that's awesome. Or like this happened at the most recent conference for us. People didn't recognize me. They saw the logo and they're like, oh, like I know Scrappy ABM. I was like, that's awesome. So the ability to build that brand affinity so that people actually want to come and talk with you at the event. And then you can actually book meetings before the event that are net new, huge way to show tangible impact that is also time bound. And as you said, creates a clear expectation for we're doing all of this to then make this event a massive conversion opportunity. And we should see meetings out of this so you can then set clear expectations. I think that's super smart.
A lot of it is also realizing your own prophecy where you get some of those open opportunities into the pipeline. What I've only seen benefits to shortening the sales cycle when you have those touch points of meeting that person who you're selling to in person that's mid-funnel. It's going to make things so much faster. You have your sales engineer resources there. You have your executives there. And you can get some wins to say, hey, this influenced that deal. This influenced that. And don't take credit for the source. Who cares? You're all in this together. You helped close that deal because of this engagement. And that rep starts to love marketing more because that rep now gets to go to that event where maybe they weren't going to go, or maybe they were going to go and be, you know, a booth worker the whole time, distracted from their current pipeline. No, they're focused on their pipeline at that event.
I love it. Scott, thank you so much for joining me today and walking through a ton of practical ways of aligning around sales, finding the right audience, and then giving a quick breakdown of, hey, here's how I'd go build a program if I'm in your shoes today. Again, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.